What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
So it's Swim the show. You see him on the show so many times when he's a coach center, but he's out of the business right now. He'll be back soon. My man, Coach Carm. Carm, good to talk to you, man. How life treating you, brother, man?
Oh, boss man, all is well up here in upstate New York. My 8-year-old daughter's in third grade, my 5-year-old son's in kindergarten, and my 2-year-old is gonna be a straight gangster. He's already throwing a football, dribbling a basketball, and you know, daddy daycare has been working wonders for him.
Man, let me ask you. I know we want to be on the court, man. I know it's tough to get let go, man. But how cool it's been to be around your wife and your kids, man, seeing your kids grow and actually they see daddy more than this at nighttime now.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Just, you know, having routines, you know, brushing our teeth, reading stories before bed, getting my daughter off the bus, picking my son up from school. You know, you cherish these moments because you don't get them back, especially in the coaching profession. So it's been great, man. I'm, you know, truly blessed and just humbled that it's, you know, God's given me this opportunity. You know, I always look at the fact that, you know, he always gives you what you need. And, you know, at this moment in my life, this is what he's given me. And this has been tremendous.
No doubt. And then, Carm, for you, man, you know, you get that routine, man, of going to the office, recruiting, calling recruits, looking at film, doing events. Man, how's it been to kind of get out of that mode? Because I know when you're so used to that as a coach, and when you don't have it, kind of it's a tough to adjust to it for a little while.
Yeah, so now the routine is when my 2-year-old wakes up at 6 a.m., I'm up with him, and we have our own routine. But, yeah, that's what I miss the most. I still try to keep the discipline in with the workouts and, you know, running 3 miles a day and lifting and riding the Peloton, things like that. But, yeah, that was definitely one of the harder things is, you know, coaches are creatures of habit. So you get kind of, you know, a little taken aback. But I've tried to, you know, really fill my cup with other things that kind of, you know, satisfy that urge and really fill those cups.
No doubt, man. And if for you, like, as you've been out of it right now, so do you still kind of watch films? How you been doing trying to network with other coaches and kind of stay involved so you don't get off the radar per se, because you still want to get back into the business, of course?
Yeah, no, it's I mean, we're still in the people business. We're still in the information and intel gathering business. You know, I've been on the AAU circuit with the City Rocks or the Nike EYBL. So that's been great, just traveling and, you know, so gracious to Jim Hart, who's the director and the coach of that program that started it. I was the first Division I player from that program back in 96 with a couple buddies of mine. So that was amazing. But just to be able to be around that, trying to stay relevant, getting information, building networks. You know, there's so much out there in terms of information and disinformation, especially with NIL and money, right? And how guys are getting paid. So I've been really, you know, ear to the ground on that. I've been helping kids place them at prep schools, help get kids recruited. More just out of the goodness of my heart to give back. And then obviously when you do things with the right motivation and, it usually takes care of itself. So, I've just been trying to stay busy in that regard.
No doubt. And Carl, for you, going to practices, man, how cool is it going to play for people's practices and see what they do, kind of what you can pick up on and what you may use when you get your next opportunity to be a head coach, so you can kind of see how other people run on the program. It's very cool to see and figure out what works for you after seeing what others do as well.
Oh, last year alone, I think I went to 8 to 10. I went to a JUCO event in Colorado. I went to watch Nico Medved and Ali work at Colorado State. Obviously, now Nico's the head coach at Minnesota. Went to see Archie Miller at Rhode Island, Frank Martin at UMass, John Dunn at Marist, Tom Pecora at Quinnipiac. So, I got to see a bunch of guys work, and that's what coaches love, right? It's in our DNA. It's a calling. Just being able to take notes of, what I like, what I don't like. And then also, really deep dive into myself with the mistakes I made and if I could change something. But at the end of the day, you make decisions based on the information you have. And at that time, you're doing the best you think for yourself and your program. So, it's been great. It's been great. But really love watching others, practice and how they run their programs. That's been awesome.
No doubt, man, because especially at different level, the 18 level, a little different from Marist is or where Quinnipiac is. And then you got kind of that next level of group of five schools with Colorado State, then now Nico to Minnesota. So for you, man, like seeing how our roster construction now is so important with the new rules coming in, NIL, the portal, man, how's it been kind of game planning your mind based on wherever job you get again, how you're going to approach it based on being around these other programs who are at these different levels?
Yeah, so that's a great question. There's so many different ways to do it. Whether you opted into the rev share or not, right? You got certain roster spots or 13 scholarships. I think coming down the chute here soon, every guy or every student athlete, guy or girl, is going to get 5 years to play five. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, the roster build is interesting. If you have do you build it around two star players that have high NIL value and then you supplement it with, some low value, cornerstone type pieces that are more glue people? It just all depends on the resources you have. So you can't really change the goalpost, but the goalposts have been moving, with the rev share. Last year, guys got paid a ton of money. Now you'll see kind of the market for even top 100 recruits that are seniors in high school right now. There's only been a handful come off the board because everyone's kind of jockeying for position to see how much they can get. They may miss out on money. And then you have the whole different component with, bringing agents into play. Is there going to be a salary cap? Are they going to be employees? So it's, still far from over.
And Carl, is just hearing what you're saying reminds me of the NBA, man. The builders, the two store with the luxury tax and the aprons, man. That's like an NBA team, man. When they kind of manage the cap, see what you have built around it. Like what build do you do? Three stars, two stars, one star role players. Like it just reminds me of my role in the NBA. What you just described, man.
No, it's spot on. I mean, I've talked to some schools and dug into some general manager type roles, and there's a lot of vision now, especially in the Big East and the Power Four, with these programs building more front offices. So they got director of player personnel, they got a general manager, they may have an on the court coach, they may have a skill development coach. Now the tricky part is NCAA rules. How many guys are allowed on the road? If you're labeled an assistant, you can do this. If you're labeled this, you can do that. Now with being able to have five assistant coaches, sometimes it's making the head coach's job a little harder. So a lot of programs are taking that general manager role to kind of alleviate some of that recruiting mess from the head coach. So he doesn't have to deal with the agents. He doesn't have to deal with the negotiations. So I've been diving into that too, working on those relationships with different agencies as well. So it's definitely been a time of growth.
No doubt, man. And Carl, I'm going to ask you this, man, for you, how much ball are you watching, like on film, watching Synergy still, or watching European ball, NBA ball, kind of find some different sets that you may want to incorporate next time around and some different schemes you may want to go with next time around?
Oh yeah, my whiteboard is constantly being erased and rewritten on in my office at home. I love watching international basketball. The under 18, under 20, all those world championships were great. I still follow Italian basketball. I played over there. I'm working on renewing my Italian citizenship, actually. I got an appointment down in the consulate in New York City in December. But no, I can't stop watching enough film. And then, even going back watching, EYBL games that we participated in this last summer at Peach Jam, and in the EYBL regular season, because there's a lot of good players out there that aren't going to have home. So just being ready to know, hey, who's available and at what level I think they can play. I think that's very important.
You know what, Carm? I love looking at Radius and slapping the glass. I love looking at their sets, looking at what they do, because a lot of it helps me when I'm talking on the radio to my listeners as well. Because I want you to inform them about basketball too. My dad was a coach, of course, but I want to make sure I'm on top of what's going on, where we're running high, and describing to the listeners what when we see certain things, what we're doing. We're pinned down, we're doing a 45 off of this and Rams. So I love to watch those sites because I can. Give my listeners some basketball knowledge as well. So they're not running a play. We're running an action. Okay.
I love it.
I
No,
love
it's
those sights, man.
yeah, slapping glass, that I listen to that when I run a ton. And then, next thing I know, the run's over and I'm still just kind of sitting in my driveway listening. And then Basket Under Review is a good new one. That's been great. So yeah, no, all those are great just to keep the mind working. And then, being able to, meet and talk with head coaches, even if it's a, hey, coach, send me a couple of your practices. I want to see what you guys been doing and, let me know what you want me to look for or, how precise do you want me to be with footwork? What are your goals of this practice? So being able to help that way too. So always just trying to build relationships, stay relevant and, keep working.
And Carmen, she says very important, man. Relationships are so important, man, in this business because I feel like it's become too transactional almost. You know what I'm saying? But you also a relationship guy, so am I. It's like, talk about how important it is, despite the money being involved, despite it being a business aspect to it, have a relationship with a young man and their family. It still is very important, even in this world we're in now.
Genuine relationships will always prevail. But I think you can cut through the chase. I think that's also partly why it's so important to have a general manager or somebody on your staff, a director of player personnel that's dealing with that. So the coach and the assistants can just be the relationship builders. Now, obviously, the GM and director of player personnel have to have relationships too. And, but there's got to be honesty, right? In all those relationships, hey, players and coaches, there has to be that kind of truth serum where they can talk and they can be honest. I think when you don't talk and there's too much seller's talk and there's not a lot of genuineness, there's a lot of ulterior motives going on, then no one wins. So it's all about the relationships. It's all about, hey, let's talk about the number. This is what we need to get you to play here. But then at the end of the day, we're not talking money. We're talking about how we're getting you better, how we're getting you to the NBA, how we're getting you to achieve your dreams, how we're going to get to achieve our team goals. And that's the most important thing.
No doubt, man. And Carmen, what I also worry about with this, with the money involved, is that the team aspect is only suffer because what if a guy that got getting a certain amount of money, he's got getting a certain amount of money, he's playing over him. Because I know in the NBA, I see it all the time. If a guy's making more than somebody, he's come off the bench, it's a problem in the locker room. So trying to navigate it with younger guys who are less mature than NBA guys, where the number ain't the same, and they feel like they're better than that guy. I feel like that for you guys, coaches, it's gonna be even harder with that because egos do get involved, and families do get involved with egos, thinking their kids is better than what they really are.
Oh, and that's not even talking about, when stuff goes down in the stands at the arena, when someone's not passing the ball or somebody's looking to get their stats. And it's even worse at the lower levels, right? Because those guys are looking to move up and make more money. And so they're using that program as a stepping stone. So it's about being able to find the right character people to come into your program that are surrounded by the right people, the right family. And then the education piece, right? That's kind of on the AAU coach, that's on the high school coach, that's on the college program to make sure they're educating those families. Because a lot of these kids now, they're getting money. They're actually worse off after they're done with college because they forgot to pay taxes and now they owe money and the money they had is already spent. So, that financial literacy piece is huge too. But yeah, no, the locker room is key. That's why, certain programs will only pay freshmen X amount of dollars and then sophomores X amount of dollars. And, there's some probably some variances, But like I said, a lot of different strategies to roster build and how you pay. But that's why I think a salary cap would be great. That's why I think sometimes, you know, the one thing is you can talk about multi-year deals, but, you know, if a kid leaves a school and he has a two-year contract, you know, I do think there should be, hey, he transfers to the ACC, it's X amount of dollars back to that collective or back to that university because they're paying out of the rev share. So I think strategically there can be some things done, but overall, no college is going to want to sue a kid that breaks a contract and leaves because now it's going to hurt them probably with the next guys they're trying to recruit.
No doubt, man. You brought something very profound, the tax piece of it. I told a young man the same thing. I said, son, you have to pay taxes on that money, buddy. You're a W-9 employee. You're a W-9, buddy. So you have to pay taxes. Oh, I got to pay taxes on it. Yes, you do. Like, the fact that this young man did not know he had to pay taxes on his money was like, they didn't tell you that? And he has an agent, too. He has to pay this absorbing fees to the agent. I'm like, what? And in the NBA, it's 30%. You're paying 25% to an agent.
That's so now, and that's the other issue that the NCAA didn't think about. With this rev share, with this NIL, with this kind of free market, you have so many bad actors getting into this business, seeing they can make quick money off of kids that aren't educated or families that aren't educated. You know, they wheel and deal, wheel in the nice clothes, and but they don't, they themselves don't even have a 401k. They themselves don't even have a, you know, a house or a home or a mortgage, and they're just trying to make quick money off these kids. So that's one of the other issues is, you know, there needs to be some legitimacy to agents. So that's why I've been trying to build agent, you know, relationships with reputable agencies and good people I know I can trust, because at the end of the day too, right, it's kind of, you're going to get what you get. If you're dealing with an unreputable agent with a kid, well, that kid was able to believe that. Well, now what's going to happen when he comes to you? You know, and how was he brought up? Whereas if you're dealing with a reputable agency, you know, you hope everything stays in line. So that alignment piece is key.
No doubt, man. I just felt so bad for the young man. But 25%, that's crazy. Because I said, son, NBA agents is 1 to 4%.
So, yeah, there's some agents charge. I've seen contracts of 20%, and it's over the lifetime of any NIL stream.
I just shook my head. I said, son, please, who was guiding you? But I hope he's in a better spot now. But it was last year, around this time, I just shook my head, Carl. I'm like, this is crazy.
It's, yeah. So, but there's so many repercussions, so many kind of second and third and fourth actions that I feel like the NCAA didn't think about. Even beforehand, right? You know, this could have been handled probably much better 10 years ago. But now the only thing that's changed is the floor has raised, right? Because now there's still going to be people cheating, because if they spend up to the 20.5 with the rev share, you know, there's going to be other ways they want to pay their players. And that's the issue right now, is a lot of these schools, especially in the Power Four, they do not know how much money they're going to have this coming season yet for next year. So how can they offer a guy that's in high school right now that's going to be an incoming freshman a certain number when the guys on their roster now made a ton more than they're probably going to be making next year? How are they going to retain those guys first? Because you know you win with guys that you can retain and guys you get from the portal. It's hard to win with freshmen.
Yeah, no doubt, man. When I saw that rev share, I was like, yeah, it's going to hurt some teams who are paying absorbing numbers of certain guys because they're going to take a pay cut. But, hey, you're getting more than you're going to get in the G League or in Europe right now. So you take what you can get right now and don't be greedy.
Right, exactly. And you know, at the end of the day, and people lose sight of it, but they still need an education.
Yes, sir.
They still have to go to school. They still have work to do. They still have to be productive citizens in society. They still have to be energy givers. They still have to be leaders on campus. But you know what? You know, you can find the right ones and reward them. And that's what it's about. That's what, you know, the onus is on every staff to find the right kids, right? And you want to deal with the agents that are looking for the guys that can be pros and want to be with them through that matriculation, not just for the quick hit and they're going to just sign them and then move on to the next guy. You want to, you know, work with the agents that are looking for guys that want to be true pros, because hopefully they've already done weeding out of the families that are about the right process.
And Carl, for those AAU parents out here who are watching this show today, tell them, what do you look for as a college coach in a young man at an AAU event? What are you keying on so they can understand, tell their young men, this is what a college coach is looking for when they're out here playing the AAU tournament?
Well, obviously, you know, the talent speaks for itself, but we watch the body language, right? As a coach, we know that there's 12 guys or 10 guys or 9 guys on that roster that are all good players, right? So, you know, a guy comes in, does something well, does a couple other things well, and then comes out, he should be happy he just helped his team as opposed to being pissed he came out, right? So that body language is key. And then also, you know, bench decorum, like how's he acting on the bench? But also we're watching the parents, like how are the parents acting? Are they talking junk about the coach in the stands? Are they saying, oh, Johnny doesn't pass the ball to him and he doesn't pass the... So like at the end of the day, you're evaluating everything. And that's why this job has gotten so much harder too. You have to do that every year. Every year you got to build a whole new team. On top of that, at the low major and mid-major level, you got assistants making, you know, 70, 50, 60, 70 to 100, 120, 150, maybe 200,000 at most at that mid-major level as a top assistant or whatever. You're probably under minimum wage with how much you're working and how many hours you're putting in terms of intel and film and phone calls. And then, you know, what is it really worth it for those guys? You know, it's, you know, there's got to be some sort of break even. And now it, on top of that, right, those schools that are paying those assistants that money, what if there's four or five players on that roster doubling in that salary? You know? So, you know, you got to love it for the, you got to love it for the game. You got to do it for the right reasons. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's a great game. We love basketball.
No doubt, man. May I ask you this, man, Carmen, could you describe to the listeners the tough how tough it is at the low major level? Because, you know, trying to, you know, get a staff with limited resources, man, and you know, trying to get guys to come to the school who want to go play high, the higher level, and they may leave you. So I'll talk about just let's understand like how tough it really is, and the fact that you had success you did, despite all those different things around you, speaks to how well hell of a job you did up there, man.
So, you know, we beat my fourth year. Well, first year, right? You know, start off 10-10. We win 10 straight, get to the conference semifinal. COVID hits. So, okay, chalk that up. Bad luck. We win the regular season title outright, first time in a long time. I think I was the first coach in school history to ever do that outright in their first season. Year two, we're the second to last Division I team to play due to COVID pauses. And we win six straight. So we have a school record for, you know, 16 straight wins spanning the two seasons. But we got to deal with Rick Pitino. So he's in the league at Iona now. He's the Hall of Famer. Tremendous. And we want to play against the best. I always want to compete against the best. So, you know, end of the day, we get upset by Coach Pitino in the quarterfinals. But we won a regular season title that year, too. Fast forward year four, you know, year three, I built the whole team with basically 12 new players. Probably seven or eight transfers, four freshmen. Year four, we beat Florida State, we beat Seton Hall, we beat St. Bonaventure, we lose to Ole Miss in the semifinals of a tournament. Good team, but my best player, my point guard at the time, was playing really well. So he's got people in his ear and agents and different things. And this was before, you know, NIL came out, right? It was gonna come out after the season, basically, when guys could get paid. And so that was the hardest part, was navigating uncharted territories. And, you know, he had a back issue, so his family wanted him to be cautious. And, you know, we had him see specialists and doctors. And, you know, you don't realize what that does to a team dynamic too. So, you know, but I had some veteran leaders, and that was good, had some good players. You know, we end up, you know, finishing third that year as well. So I finished first, third, and third. And but he ends up transferring. And, you know, if I knew what I knew then, like, I wouldn't have followed the rules. Like the NCAA at the time said, head coaches, you can't be involved in the players' negotiations with your collective. So I followed the rules because I, you know, but he was offered a certain number, and you know, I could have started my own collective and found another way to pay him more just to keep him for one more year, you know? So it's hard. I had so many guys move on. You know, I had Don Carey went to Georgetown in Maryland. Jalen Pickett went to Penn State. He's now with the Nuggets. Giovanni Amunjiru went to George Mason. Now he's at East Carolina. You know, and the list can go on. You know, Jordan King went to was player of the year in the A-10 at Richmond. He was a walk-on for me in my first year. Rewarded him with a scholarship. Local kid, great young man. He's playing pro overseas now too. But you know what? That's what it's going to be now for these low majors and mid majors. It's going to be a springboard. You just got to hope you can have enough money to pay guys to keep them for an extra year, because the more guys you can retain, and they got to be the right guys. You can't pay the wrong guys and then want to keep them. You got to get rid of the wrong guys. The wrong guys are the wrong guys. The right guys are the right guys.
No doubt, man. Well, Carm, I tell you what, man, it's good to catch up with your brother, and I hope to see you soon down in Atlanta at a game. We're going to hang out at a game, man, and we're going to do that, man. But, yeah, man, I'm glad you're still doing your thing, man. I'm glad we can have you on the show, man, and I hope you get a job real soon, man. The basketball community deserves you. He needs you, man. I know the family needs you, too, but I know you want to get back on that court, man.
Appreciate you, boss, man. Thanks so much.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show. Twitter at Boss Man Show and Facebook Boss Man Show. It's the Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to the Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.